Good morning, listeners. Today is Tuesday, May 23rd, and today we have the honor of having our very own principal, Mr. Snyder. Before being the principal at DAG, he was also a vice principal at Lyman Hall and Sheehan. Please give him a warm welcome.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Okay, so first we'd like to start off by talking about your career today. Mm-hmm. So how would you describe a typical day at your job?
That's funny. I'm laughing because no day is typical, it seems. Depending on the season, depending on the day-to-day, every day is always different. But I guess I would probably break it down to there are student issues that we have to deal with on a daily basis. And then there's also adult issues that we have to deal with daily. And I'm not talking about the same kinds of things, but there are in the running of the school, there's different things that come up. So there is no typical day. but, you know, as you have seen me throughout the building, I try to be present and during passing time. I try to be present during lunchtime. And this is my first year as your principal, and it really is probably, I could honestly say, the best year of my career. And this is year 20, maybe even 21. I guess I'm losing count at this age. But it has been wonderful. It's my first year at the middle school level. All the other years, whether it was teaching or being assistant principal, have all been at the high school level. So it was exactly what I needed in my career, and this has just truly been a wonderful year in getting to know you.
What would you say your favorite and least favorite part of your job is?
Yeah. The best part is probably working with the students. And even the students who are in my office or Mrs. Melita's office. That's the best part of the job, believe it or not. my least favorite, and if I can actually go elaborate on that, you know, there's a little over 700 students here, and the students who make our way down, you know, for a variety of reasons, have different issues. And I love working with them and their families and trying to get those issues to the forefront and seeing everybody grow and move together. The least favorite part of the job, I would probably say, and I hope this doesn't come off flat, but there are certain times in dealing with the adults that I am not fond of. And I don't mean that, I know, Mr. Pekakis is not all adults, but there are certain times when dealing with adults where it's really challenging because of employment issues or, you know, and trying to move people in a certain direction. Sometimes there's resistance to that, and but it's an opportunity. I would say that's probably my least favorite in dealing with contractual things. There are certain, I guess, walls that prevent us from moving forward and doing things. And to be just honest, and you asked, so I answered, and that's probably the least.
What skills of yours do you think are improving as you work?
I'd say patience. I've always thought I've had a lot of patience. You have to in this job, whether you're teaching or or in administration. But I think I'm trying to get to a point where it's expanding. You know what I mean? There's in any daily on any given day, there's a lot of input. You know what I mean? There's just like you in your day to day. You move seven times in the course of a day, and you move from science to English to math to your encore classes, and it's a lot, right? You have to shift and downshift. Excuse me. So I would say though, in the all the inputs that come, it helps to have patience.
How has your job affected your current lifestyle?
Well, there are only two parts to our lives, truly. Whether it's you now in middle school or when you're older, there's only two parts to our lives. There's work and there's home. And when I'm not here, I'm at home. I have a 3.5-year-old son. I think that it's, even though he's not your age yet, I like to think that it's made me a better father in some ways. In terms of that patience, and I find myself thinking all the phone calls that I make home to parents, I think to myself, when's it going to happen where I get that phone call from my son's assistant principal or principal someday? It's bound to happen. But how does it affect my lifestyle? There are times where I do have to be out late and I can't be home at a regular time, especially this season. I've been out, there was a week right after April break where I was four nights out. And that's taxing because my wife is at home and that's a long time to spend with a toddler. So I would say some weeks are better than others, but I will also admit that going from the high school, which there were many more nights out, to here has been good. So that's why I've appreciated this job a little more.
How do you deal with difficult students?
Lately, I've been asking myself, actually, it's really in the last few years, I think to myself, would I have done this when I was in middle school? Or would I have done this when I was in high school? And the truth is that I understand some of the moments that you find yourselves in. I truly do. There are hundreds of you. There's, like I said, a little over 700 students, and yet there are hundreds of you who have never stepped foot in our office before. And I think about the vast majority of you a lot, because you're the ones that are going to move on and do the same thing at Lyman Hall or wherever it is that you go. But that patience and listening to them and trying to get at the heart of what it is, why are they doing the things they're doing, what I try to do is to allow the students to see the outcome of their behavior. And believe it or not, there are some people in this world that just don't think in ways that you might find as common sense. So I've had many conversations with students before that after that conversation, they've thought to themselves, geez, I never really thought about it like that before, you know? You got to listen, and we have to be empathetic for it. This is not a line. I'm not reading from a cue card, but I found myself saying to many parents and lately is that I think about things in terms of what if this were my son or daughter? And I have to think about it from both sides. You know what I mean? So in a bullying case, for instance, I have to think about, what if this were my son who was the bully? What if this were my daughter who was the victim? You know what I mean? And that's a really tough spot. But I think, though, when you look at it from that lens, it allows you to reach a better determination rather than just a reflexive knee-jerk reaction and saying, you know, you're suspended. Because that's not the best part of my job at all. It's actually my least. I should have said that to your question earlier. My least favorite part is probably suspending students. Or expelling.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Is being a principal your dream job?
You know, I spent 9 years as assistant principal, and that's a tough gig. And I think I reached a point where, you know, I knew I could do the job. I kind of wanted to be that number one person, I guess, in the school and have everything fall on me. You know, you search these things out, and then when you get it, you have to do it, right? Just like you guys. Eventually, all of you are going to probably pursue college, right? And you don't know what high school is like yet, but I find myself also saying that life is lived forward, but it's understood backwards. And it's kind of a cliche, and I'm not sure if it's a blessing or a curse, but it's really true. So there's nothing that your parents or we can say to you in terms of your understanding of what high school is like, because it just hasn't happened yet, but it will. And it won't be for 4 years or 5 years from now that you'll be able to look on it and say, look back and say, I know what high school is like. So why I say all that is because for years and years, I kind of pursued it, and here I am in it. And is it my dream job? I suppose it is. I can't say that I want to be a relief pitcher for the Red Sox. I guess that's the dream job, but I think that ship has sailed. There's no chance of that happening. There's zero chance of that happening. I know sometimes there are messages about you can be anything you want. Well, I can't. And I cannot. It's just not going to happen. But yes, I am just it's a pleasure being here, and it has been a dream of mine, and I couldn't think of being anywhere different. And what I liked about this transition is that I know where you guys are going. In terms of Lyman Hall, the majority of you, some might not be, but I like to think that we can create a seamless transition as you move from Dag Hammarskjöld to Lyman Hall.
Now we'd like to discuss how you reached success. Where did you grow up?
Hartford area. I moved around a lot as a kid. I don't know why my parents did that. A lot of towns in Hartford, Bloomfield to Glastonbury, to another house in Glastonbury, to East Hartford, back to Bloomfield, then to West Hartford, and then back to Bloomfield. So, and that was all, I think I just narrowed down K through 12 for you. So, yeah, mostly Hartford County. That's where I grew up. I went to, that's another question, so I'll wait until that one. But Hartford County.
Did you have any role models as a child?
Role models? My father, I would say. I also, I went to a public school for 9th and 10th grade in high school, and then I went to a private military school for my junior and senior year. And there was a guy, the commandant of schools, that I found as a role model. He was a good man. So, I would say those two. And how they contributed? Is that the next question? You know, sometimes the most important part of anyone's education is the one that you don't really notice most of the time. It's the values that your parents impart to you. It is the lessons in between all of the formal ones, right? About being responsible, about being trusting other people, about being collaborative, about being a good friend. All of those things kind of make up who any of us are. So values are really important, and I found that as I grew up, you know, you grow up forward, but you understand these things backwards, and it's not to say that I didn't make mistakes growing up, because I made a ton, as you all will, and I hope you do. That's how we learn. But there's a big difference between mistakes of malice and mistakes of weakness. So sometimes we find ourselves in not proud moments, but we all had them, and I think it's all contributed to what I am today. I think the military did a lot in terms of my, after military school, I enlisted in the Army, National Guard, and I think that that was pretty formative for me, doing things that you don't want to do. We've probably all been there, right? How many of you really wanted to wake up this morning?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you just popped right
so
up?
Excited. We were interviewing you today.
That was the first thing that came to mind, huh?
Oh, yes, it was.
I love it. Yeah, I appreciate that. The truth is that there are times that every day we all have to do things we don't want to do. And I think that's probably what the military did for me is instilled that stoicism. It's a big word in case you haven't heard of it. It's the ability to tolerate a lot of pressure and stress and be able to kind of forge through that. So that's probably the best way that I can encapsulate how I've gotten here.
What did you want to be growing up?
You know, I really didn't have like a set occupation. I really didn't. I thought attorney for a little while. But I'll tell you, I went to college. I was I was in the Army National Guard, which is 1 week in a month, 2 weeks in the summer. I was a history major. Now, when I look back on it, it's kind of naive. I guess I thought to myself at the time, even my, sophomore, junior year of college, that there was just going to be some job for me. It's strange as I look back on it now. What I found, though, is that, teaching was a passion for me. I loved history. I felt that teaching was a wonderful occupation just an amazing one that you can contribute to the world. So I went back to school for that. So I didn't really have an ideal job, growing up saying, I wanted to be a firefighter or astronaut or, those typical things that kids say. I always had a passion, as you all do, for education and learning. That passion grows and it builds and builds. So I think it was a natural kind of progression to go from the love of history that I have and wanting to share that with others, because I think that's the perfect idea of a teacher.
Where did you go to school?
You mean elementary school and all that?
Yeah.
I couldn't even name them all. Like I said, moving around so much, I probably went K through 12, I think 8 or 9 different schools, maybe even more, I haven't counted. But for high school, it was the New York Military Academy. which I'm kind of proud of. I did well there. I went to college, which is the next question. I'm sorry, did I steal your question? All right. For college, I went to Southern Connecticut State University, where I was a history major. And then I got my master's and six-year degree for this job at Central Connecticut State. So all state universities, and growing up, all those schools were either in Bloomfield or East Hartford or West Hartford.
As you said, you moved around a lot. Would you say that made it a bit difficult for you to make friends and keep those friends?
That's a good question. sort of, yeah, I suppose. But at the same time, I think I learned how to deal with adverse situations. You know what I mean? That's which is why when there's a new student, we had a new student come just, I don't know, a month ago. And even at Lyman Hall and even at Sheehan, whenever a new student comes and I get introduced to them and they're taking the tour of the school, I will always admit fully that I've been a new student before and I get it. And I'm, you know, I understand whatever it is that's going on in their head. But I think it's allowed me to kind of not get complacent and to understand adversity and to kind of move forward with those things in a positive light. It's a good question, though.
So what jobs did you have before you were a principal?
Assistant principal for 10 years prior. I was a social studies teacher, predominantly at Windsor Locks High School, which was about a little over 6 years. That was wonderful. Some of the best years of my life were at that school, and I love teaching there, and it's a great community. After that was my first, I guess, administrative job. I was the head of the social studies department at Newington High School. I was there for 3 years, and then I came here. Jobs growing up, though, I mowed lawns. I worked in a health food store prior to, you know, like you know, the big health food stores, Whole Foods, things like that. Prior to that, there was a small one in Hartford, New Haven. I worked there. I sold insurance after college, which was a terrible job. But it was important because it made me realize that I didn't want to do that. Remember I told you before about college and just knowing that there's a job out there? And I did that for a year, and it was just such a lousy job. But there's money to be made in that, but I just hated what I was doing. So if there's anything that I can impart, it's that find your talents. You know, all of you have unique talents. Your job is to find them, use them, and share them. And think about how you want to spend your day. And I think the best thing you can do is to do a job that almost feels like a hobby. I can't say that being a principal is a hobby, but there are certain people. Teaching is a wonderful way, an honorable way, to mark your life with meaning. You know, and I think that's probably the best way to pursue a job, because there's nothing worse than getting up each day and just dreading going to work. And I don't have that. Some days are better than others, but I don't have that feeling, though.
So what were your goals for the future when you started your career as a principal?
What are my goals? Like right now, what are my goals for the future? well, I'm kind of playing the back nine here of my career. Which means that I got, 21 years in. I don't see going another 21. So my goals, if the balance of my career is spent here at Dag Hammarskjöld, I would consider myself very, very lucky. How I want to grow in this job is a whole other thing, because, you know, we constantly learn and grow. I thought for a little while, up until last year, that I wanted to be a superintendent, but that has been paused. I don't think I want to do that. You know, at that point, you're not dealing with students so much. It's really all adults at that point. And as I said, sometimes you guys are the best part of the job. You know, my goal in terms of this job and being your principal is to create the best conditions possible for you guys to do your best. And that's kind of how I see it, to allow the teachers to do their part. I believe in the teachers that are here, because they're on the front lines and doing what they need to do to get you to be your best.
Thank you. Now, we would like to ask you a few more questions. What was one of the first memorable experiences of your career?
Memorable experiences. There are so many right now, and a lot of them as assistant principal. You mean as an administrator or a teacher?
Take your pick.
As a teacher, I would say that the best part, and it happens a lot, and I think all your teachers can probably admit this, that when you're standing in front of a group of students and you're teaching a class, there are those moments that you have everybody's attention, they're all looking at you, and you can see that light bulb just kind of click, and you can actually see, in a very small, minute way, someone growing. You know what I mean? Mentally, emotionally, and those are just great experiences. They really are. In terms of administration, the best experiences for me have been in the 10 years or 9 years I was assistant principal is at graduation. If you think about it, you know, everything you do, starting if you're an eighth grader and you're going to be in high school next year, everything you do starting next August culminates to one moment, which is graduation. And there's a lot of things in between, but that time when you get your diploma and graduation is done and over and high school's over, watching the kids walk across the stage that I didn't think would be there, and those that you help along the way, and you see them there, that's just really gratifying and rewarding. And conversely, there are some students who didn't walk across stage. And I think the lowest moments, if I could mention it, would be telling a student that they wouldn't graduate. And try as you might, because we try to, much of what we do is anticipating problems and seeing that student not do their part. And that's probably frustrating, if I can go back to something, is, you know, students have to meet us halfway. And one part that's really frustrating is, what do you do with the student that just doesn't want to learn and be taught and consistently does things to break the rules? So that's frustrating, and those are some experiences. And I'm thinking of a number of students right now as I see them walking across stage and or telling them that they wouldn't graduate, and those are standing out right now. What I will say for that student that didn't graduate, and I believe, is that students find their own way in their own time. And I saw that student's mother several years ago, and he is doing just fine. So I'm not naive enough to say that just because, you know, someone doesn't graduate on time means that they're not going to be successful. I've known too many students that have proven us wrong. And they move on, and they grow, and they move on to bigger and better things.
That's good.
Yeah.
Who are the most important people in your life?
My wife and my son, without a doubt. They are just my world, and they mean a lot.
What do you believe to be the most important quality someone can have?
Probably to be empathetic. to be able to understand or at least acknowledge someone else's feelings and what they're going through is tough. Here's a real basic example. So my wife and I, I've never had the flu before. Anybody ever have it? You guys? Isn't it awful? Well, I never had it before, up until this was about 6 years ago. And prior to that, when somebody would say to me, oh, I had the flu, and, you know, I would be like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that, and, you know, I hope you feel better. It was always the cursory things, right? But then when you have it and you go through it, it is dreadful. So what happens now is that when, and I never really get sick. I think, you know, once every couple of years I'll get a cold, and even then it's just not that bad.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. This place is, schools are
10,000 sick days.
It's a petri dish, this school.
Your immune system knows how important it is for you to be here.
I guess so. But what happens now is that when somebody does say they have the flu, I will, you know, my heart goes out to them. And, you know, that's just a real simple example. But I think when, similar to what I said before about that new student, that's being empathetic. Understanding, you know, students whose parents are getting a divorce. Divorce in America, those rates haven't changed too much. And that, too, is devastating for kids. My parents divorced when I was 4 years old, so I don't remember it as much. But at your age, it can be really tough. So my heart goes out to the student who's going through that, but also to the family, too. And you know, we have to work together to kind of make things as healthy as possible moving forward, because it's a reality. So I really do think that empathy, and when you understand people and where they've come from, it makes it a lot easier. And I think an underrated part of what we do is that those interrelationships, those relationships that we have with others, and being able to connect with them and be influential in their lives.
So lastly, we'd like to ask, in your opinion, what do you think it takes to be successful in the 21st century?
Yeah. So we used a term several years ago, as when 1999 turned into 2000, there was this talk about 21st century skills, right? Does that sound familiar to you? Maybe, because we've pulled away from it?
Heard it.
Well, the thing is that you guys were all born in 2003. Right. So all you know is the 21st century. So as we made that shift from the 20th century to the 21st, I don't think... what does it take? You have to be adaptable. You have to know how to problem solve. You have to know how to think on your feet, how to be agile. You have to know how to read, write. I don't think those things are going away. You also have to, they never will go away, but you also have to know how to problem solve and be creative. And those aren't just opinions of mine. I do believe that, but this is what employers are now telling colleges and even high schools today, is that this is the kind of people that we need. So you have to adapt and be able to think on your feet. But the pressure that you guys have, that's kind of been here for a little while now. I think you live in a very different world. But to be able to connect with other people, to problem solve, and to work with them in whatever job you have, I think will be the best skills that you can have. And if I said that to, or if a principal said that in 1990 to a group of students, that still would have been a pretty good message. So those are just really good skills to have. So I would probably leave it at that.
Thank you so much, Mr. Snyder, for taking your time and being here with us today and sharing some insight into your life. Also, thank you to our listeners for tuning into our podcast.
Thank you. It really is a pleasure. I was wondering how this was going to be, and thank you so much. It's been a wonderful year, and I to the eighth graders, I wish you all the luck in the world.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For having me.
Thank you.